Thank you. Good morning. How are we doing? So, when I'm at work, even in the afternoon, everyone who walks by the door, I'm like, good morning. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, it's noon already. I'm so used to being an early bird, getting up at 5, go to work. But that's a blessing that I'm able to do that, to wake up and to move around. These days are as full of surprises, these times that we live in. This morning, for whatever reason, that was last night, so I don't think it has nothing to do with the bike riding. But I got the horrible cramp in my leg, woke me up, kicked my dog out of the bed as I was dealing with it. After that, I didn't have a really good sleep. And that was last night. And I was thinking as I was going through that, the enemy, you know, when what is the most strong weapon that can offend him, that can bother him, is the prayer. It's a prayer. So when we lift up ourselves in prayer, those who are in need, ourselves, I don't think he is pleased with that. And so as I was going, after that, I mean, I was feeling pretty bad. Those are the things that you like, sometimes you don't experience in your life and yourself. And you know that it's not normal because you don't deal with it often that you are familiarized with it. You're like, okay, what is this? And you just start to freaking out or something, and then what's going on with me? But I was thinking when was that going through me? I'm like, okay, I think I'm being attacked here a little bit because the night before I was trying to finish up my sermon. And so anything, things like that, it can bother him, and perhaps you can feel some, experience some things that you know is not normal, and literally you're being attacked. And so as I was going through that, all I remember is bringing the name of the Lord over and over in me. Not praying loud, but in my head as I was experiencing that. And then at the last, I just lost conscience, fall asleep, and just wake up and feel like new. So don't know what it was. That's just my thought that perhaps I was he didn't like it. He didn't like what I had to say today, what we all have to say every time we stand behind this pulpit. So it's something that we deal with it, and we experience it in many different ways, you know. But what does it say that through Christ we can do anything? Because the blood of Christ has washed you clean, and it has saved you, is protecting you. I heard or I read somewhere that can Christians be attacked? Can Christians be possessed? It can be a maybe. It can be a maybe, but when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and we know that his blood has covered us, that his blood has forgiven our sins and all those things that we have done, is I would say that it's very poor chance that could happen unless if you open the door to sin. So that would be the only difference because what did Christ say in his own words, be mindful of the things around you, because your heart is clean and it's a clean house, but it can be possessed again and perhaps with worse spirits. And so those words resound in my mind all the time, and it's just like, you know, we have signed up a contract. We have signed up a contract that we can't back up. We just gonna have to keep forward no matter what happened. And so because we have an advocate. We have someone who is fighting for us, so we're not alone. So anything that we experience in life, thank you, honey. Might need it. So many things we can experience in life, but we're not alone. We're not alone. We know He promised us that He will always be He will always be with us. All we have to remember is to lift up His name as we going through a hard time. Last weekend, my brother preached a little bit what it has to do, you know, with the salvation, and I'm gonna resound a few words from him. The song that we just sing, you know, it says in the first verse and the last, I don't know what you guys call the line, it says, as thought by the Lord who came to the world to save you. I cannot imagine living in those days and being able to see Jesus walking around and teaching people words that came out of His mouth. Because in those days, it's not like He wrote His own book. Can you imagine? I was telling Rebecca, can you imagine if we were to have the book of Jesus? Book of Jesus 1, Book of Jesus 2. But He didn't write any words. He didn't write any words except the one, whatever it was, which I don't know myself, when they brought him, the lady that was caught sinning. And so he went down to the ground and started writing something, which we don't know what it was. That's the only thing, only time that I can see that he there wrote something. But he there, from his own lips, he taught and teach people over and over. And it's really sad that maybe perhaps some people in those days really didn't take it for, I'm going to hear him tomorrow again. So they didn't take it for granted, you know. Many people did not bring biggest attention to listen these words of life, of living water, salvation, and so much. They didn't believe the message. So it's like we live in the same days. If you don't believe in the message, how is it you're going to believe the messenger? You just have to open your heart and your mind. I know that I make maybe mistakes as I'm reading through the Word, but you always have the chance to reopen your books and read it again yourself. And maybe you have a different understanding that where I see it, that where I understand it myself. One of the verses that I'm going to read from my brother's Adam last sermon is in 2 Nephi 7:40-42. It says, therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourself, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. And that is what my sermon has to do with the, you know, salvation, with the salvation. So in the Book of Mormon, it says it in a way that is not going around the bush. There's two ways, and you just have to choose one way, either to serve him or the way to serve the enemy. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God and not to the will of the devil and the flesh. And remember that after you are reconciled into God, that is only in through the grace of God is that you are safe. Reconcile, and that was the theme that Brother preached last weekend. We had to humble ourselves. We had to humble ourselves, and God never make mistakes. He will choose us. I mean, out here in my church, at least for myself, I don't see myself the most learning. And when God calls His people, He said He didn't call doctors or learners. Even the people in those days, those that think that they knew everything, when they heard the disciples speaking, teaching the people, they were like, where did these people learn how to speak this way when they are not acknowledged? The ignorance. How is it that they learn how to, you know, teach, read? Perhaps. And that's something that I learned myself. I learned myself to do that. To read, especially English. Man, I have a hard time reading English, that's for sure. I don't care. My wife is like, how long you been here? I'm like, I don't think that doesn't matter. I've been here this many years, but it's my second language. And a lot of times that comes try to stop me, but as long as you guys are okay with me being up here, I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna continue. So, I remember my little brother. What is he saying? He's over there. You youngest man. What's his name? Zen. He used to call me Placido all the time. You know, so he knows that I was not here. I was not born in the church. I came from outside. And I just came from outside. I came here unlearned. I didn't know anything about the scriptures. And this is like a miracle that I'm able to read what's in front of me and being able to express myself to you guys. And so I thank you so much for that and for your patience. And I thank the Lord for choosing me, knowing that I was not a learner or a doctor or some guy who knows everything. He knew that I had to work for it, and I'm still working on it. You know, everything has to be pushed. Nothing is going to come up there and just fall on your lap and there you go. You know, we just work in the grass in the yard. As you can see, there was no water. Now we got the water going, and you can see all these small sprungs of grass coming, so green that they were hiding in the ground, all dry and cracked. All they needed was a little bit of water and love. So we put up a lot of water, a lot of fertilizer, and now watch. By next week, there's either grass or weeds, but it's going to be green. So be ready for that. It's the same way, you know, with the word, with the word. You know, how are you going to learn without a preacher? It's just in the scriptures. So it takes time and it takes work. But eventually, we're not the ones that do the job. We're not the ones that they make the seed grow. It's God. It's God. So whatever you learn, whatever word stays in your heart from the services that we've been having here forever, God is going to make that's going to make that seed grow in your heart. And it's going to take time. It's not going to happen right away. It's the same thing that, you know, I love it how Christ used to teach by using, you know, wheat, trees, fishes, and all that stuff. You know, it's the way that he was making us, to make us understand the way to salvation. So I think that is pretty cool because he knew that we had no understanding how to be saved. And so let's start out with this. As you can see, one way to salvation. I see myself, and a lot of the times go back to the sermons that I have, and it looks like it all had to do with the same thing. I'm like, oh man, they're gonna think that I'm using the same scriptures here, but it's not. It's not. It's just, and then at the end, I realized like, oh, well, I talk about this a little bit in this sermon, but it's all right because. That's what we're here for. We're here to remind ourselves, you know, who we are and what we and the things that we believe, and who we believe, and then who we have our faith, our trust. And so, if you hear it over and over, it's fine because that is the whole point. The whole point is that you don't forget. You don't forget who you are. In Matthew 5:1-12, it says, and I think I make these letters a little bigger this time than from the last time. See if I can read them. And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came into him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they the poor, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For there is the kingdom of heaven, and it's amazing how these scriptures speak for themselves, knowing the things that are going around the world right now. For there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they when men shall revile and persecute you, and shall say all manners are evil against you, falsely for my sake. You know, I just mentioned it. How are you going to believe the message if you don't believe in the messenger? In those days, why did they put Christ to the cross? It's because they knew that he was the son of Joseph and Mary, who were a people, normal people, that used to live and talk and hang out with them. And now this guy, being their son, thinks he's the son of God. We are full of anger these days, like they were in those old days. We don't try to open the heart that we may understand, to try what the God has for us, you know, giving him a chance to suffer hearts and mind, that we may understand the word. You just be patient. Patience is a big word, and patience, a lot of times, that is what I need. Myself, but it says, rejoice and exceedingly glad, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute the prophets which were before you. You know, when you're trying to witness the word to people, coworkers, friends, they're going to revile against you, and they're going to say all kinds of words to you that perhaps you might feel like unworthy to witness Christ, to witness there is a way of salvation. That what we got, what we see, what you possess in this life is not going to save you. It's something that you should not trust, put your trust in it. You know, it's pretty bad. A lot of times, you know, you work so hard for what you have, and it costs you a lot of time and money, maybe your whole life to buy the house. But at the end, it's just like as I'm getting older, and I realize that the years are going so fast. You know, I need to clean my house and just get rid of things that you don't really need, that you keep saving and thinking that maybe someday you're going to use it. And that day is not going to come. I built up a shed in my backyard to clean my garage. And I was like, I'm going to get rid of everything that I have. I didn't. My shed is full of stuff that I don't really need, and I keep opening it, and it's all there, and it's not going anywhere. And my garage now is full again. I'm like, what's the word, those people that like to store stuff and just use it and not use it, and they're thinking that someday you're going to use it. And it's just keep piling up, and you need to just let it go. And so it's going to come the time that those things, they're going to be worthless, because what's more important is God. That's the most important thing, is God. When you're going through a hard time and you know that you're in a tight spot, you're not going to pray to your bike. You're not going to pray to something except that you work for it so hard and it's going to save you. No, it's not, you know. It's, at the end, only Jesus is the one that you need to focus on. Only Jesus. And the time that you're going to remember him the most is when you are in trouble. And it's easy to forget that. And that's when we kind of go after the track and start focusing on other things and just buy a whole bunch of stuff that you don't really need. You know, I speak it to myself, and so because I see my garage and my shed full of stuff that I don't really need, one of these days I'm just going to put it outside in the sidewalk and just take it for free. Because I need to clean my house, and I need to clean my heart too. I need to clean my heart and focus more in the Word of God. And so here, Christ took his time and teach the people and trying to make it understand, you know, blessed will be you if you do this. And blessed will be those who hear my word. You know, Judas was able to hear the word. He was able to walk with him and eat with him. And what happened? He betrayed him. He ended up betraying him. You know, Peter, when all of the brothers, when Christ was put to death, they thought that was it. So what did he do? He encouraged everybody, let's just go swimming. He forgot already. He forgot the things that Christ teach them and spoke to them. It went just through one ear and came out through the other one. And that's just how it is even now. You know, and to the time comes that you are in trouble, that's when you remember that there is a Savior up there. And only him can help you wherever you're going through. Only Him. I have experienced some times that I say to myself, is this it? Is this the time? Oh, because you never know. You never know. What are we going to have in the next month? My wife was telling me about this. There's going to be an eclipse. This red moon. You know, how many red moons we have had? As far as I remember, quite a few already. But those are signs. Those are signs, and those are signs that should make you understand and maybe think about a little bit. As it says in Matthew 24 about the signs of the end, and so. If you see it happen over there, it's been happening already. Floodings and earthquakes and wars and all that stuff. It's all over around us. God, give us patience. That's the key word, patience. We need patience. John 2, 1 to 11. I have a lot of reading here myself. In the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saying to the servants, whatsoever he saying to you, do it. And there were there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins, spices. And Jesus saying to them, fill the water pots with water, and they fill them up to the brim. And he say unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not when it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saying to him, every man at the beginning that said for good wine, and when the man had well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now, and this beginning of miracles there Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifest for his glory, and his disciples believe on him. You know, he there so many. Many miracles, like when he calmed the storms in the boat, when he fed the 5,000 with a few bread loaves and fish, when he brought Lazarus from the dead, you know, all those things his disciples were witness of him. They were witness of that. And how is it that, you know, we don't believe in those things? This world don't believe in these things. And so when God has called us to preach his gospel, we take over those things. Don't take it as a burden on you. It is, and it can be, because it's not easy, you know. But we are his only hope that he has for his people to be safe and to inherit that which is eternal life. And the time is getting shorter, that is for sure. And so walking with him, that would be amazing. But many people there walk away from him also. In John 21:4-11 says, but when But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And they said unto them, He said unto them, Cast the net in the right side of the ship, and yet shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple who Jesus loved say unto Peter, It is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and there cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as if 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as then as they were come to the land, they saw fire coals there, and fish laying them, and bread. And she said to them, Bring up the fish which you have now caught. You know, even when he was already came back after he was crucified, and they knew it not, he was able to eat with them. But the most important thing here that I find myself is that he already had bread, fish cooking already. But the disciples quick forget all those things. And they went to the lake to forget what happened. Maybe try to forget, you know, what he teach them from his own mouth, from his own lips. Maybe trying to forget him. And that's when, if you read the rest of the story there, that's when Christ told Peter, Do you love more than me? The words that brought my attention here in this verse is that he told them, cast the net to the right. He knows what he was talking. And they obey. They obey. That's another word that I want to focus, that we have to be obedience, and that we have to do the best, the best of our ability, the best we can. We have to do it with love, with kindness, because patience. Because with any of that, it's like the sound that just goes away in the air. He doesn't ask us too much for us to do. You know, and it's this scripture that says he will not give you no more than you can bear it. And I find myself that when it's my time to stand before you, I know that he will not give me more than I can deal with or bear it. Because sometimes, and a lot of times, I just say, I do feel that way. And so I love when I've been reminded that I was called for being humble, that I was called for being myself. And I know, and we do understand that our Lord does not make any mistakes when he calls people to continue for these 2,000 years preaching his word. And so the work here is not over. There's many young ones that are like going up, they're growing up. And so my advice is to be ready for someday our Lord will call you to continue doing not what he loves, but what he cares, because we are his children. And he's not delaying, but he wants us to be safe. In Genesis 4:16, Canaan went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Noah and the east of Eden. We all have burdens. And here there's a reminder that our first parents, not knowing what was outside of the garden, they experienced pain in their hearts, pain physical because they had to work for their bread, pain because their sons, the only two sons, as brothers, one killed the other one. That is a burden that you don't want to deal with it, seeing your kids fighting each other for maybe worthless things. That's not what, as parents, you want. You know, where God asked, what was his name, Cain, where is your brother? And what did he say? You know, am I my brother's keeper? And my wife reminded me this morning, we all brother's keeper. We all have to look for each other. You know, we might not talk the same, act the same, like the same things, but in this church, we all brothers and sisters, and so we should look into that and help each other. We are brothers and sisters keepers, and so it's a reminder that they even from the beginning, our first parents had to suffer for the mistakes of the flesh, the flesh and bones. That's why God says not to trust in the arm of flesh because it's going to fail you. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. That is our main focus. Hebrews 12:16-17. Let there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one most morsel of meat sold his birthright, for you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessings, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, that he sowed it carefully with tears. You know, this is choices you had to make in life, and this is another parents that they had to see these things happening. They, instead of focusing on the Lord, there was many choices in those days to make too. And this Esau, you know, decided to do something else than Saul. It's just the life is full of choices even now. So at this point, as the scripture that I read in the Book of Mormon, there's only two ways, and you had to make that choice of two ways for that one way to salvation, to eternal life. In Acts 9:3-5, you remember when Paul was going, was doing his thing, thinking that he was doing the right thing for the church from God. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus who thou persecutest, and it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus came to Saul. Saul did not know who he was. He was able to hear, I am Jesus who thou persecutest us. That's pretty interesting. That's amazing, hearing those words. Wait a minute, I thought I was doing the right thing. No. So even these days, a lot of churches up there, they're just preaching the wrong thing, not the way to salvation. And that's when you are on your radio, you listen to a song, you listen things that you know that is not true for what you have heard or read for yourself in the book, in the book or the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and it's not true. And that's when your eyes are open. You know, Jesus came to Saul or Paul. Paul did not come to him. So God chose you. He has chosen you to be here, to be sitting in that bench. He has chosen me to be up here and be able to speak and be able to lose my tongue and be able to say words to you that it might touch your heart and mind, that it might change your life, from the one that you live in. That is how God works. You know, He comes to you and what did He say? When I leave, I will leave a companion that will show you how to live. He will show you the way. He will show you the things that you should do, not do. The friends, the dangers that is ahead of you, He will show you. And that is the Holy Spirit. But if you have no experience or any idea who the Holy Spirit is, like many others up there think there is only one God, and there is no Holy Spirit, and there is no Jesus, that is just going to be hard. That's just going to be hard. So that's why I say, you know, by next week, the grass is going to be full of grass and weeds. God never made mistakes. He always called the right person, the weakness person. I'm weak. I like sweets. I like cupcakes. I go to Starbucks and get cheese Danish all the time. That's my weakness. I'm weak. We all weak. Hebrews 11:6-9. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a reward of them that delight to seek Him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save to the saving of his house. By that which he condemned the world, and become hero of their righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obey, and he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he journeyed into the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him, and the same promise. By faith, he did all that. By faith, it was a boat built. By faith, he trusted in God, not knowing if it was true, it was going to rain or things like that. You know, they were obedient by faith. They listened to God. And so the Spirit, even now, by faith, we have to hear Him and believe. With the things that they we heard, and just do it. Because even Christ, He obeyed God and to go to the cross for you and I, that He died for you and I. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's one of the other things that faith work on it, trust in it, and just endure to the end, and just keep going forward. And Luke 12:32-40, say, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heaven that faileth not, where no thief approach, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your light burning, and yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him. And immediately, blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet, and will come for and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he will have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. This is a beautiful message right here that is telling us to be ready, to be prepared, to be aware what's around us, not just like a horse in the field, just walking straight without seeing to the sides. We have to look around us, look up to the sky to see what's going on. Up there too, perhaps one of these days we might see Christ coming in his glory, because that is the promise to us, that the same way he came, the same way he lived this world, the same way he will come back. That's what the angels told his disciples. What are you doing here? Get up there and start working. The same way that you saw him go, he will come back the same way. That is one of the things that I look forward. And I believe that he's around us, that he's here, that he's there, he's wherever. If we don't see it, every eye and every knee shall bow down as he's coming in his glory. That's the promise. And that's what I have in me to remember. Be ready and a good servant. That's the most important thing. To be a good servant and do wherever you can, because what did he say? My father rejoices on those who are trying to do the will of God. Trying to do the will of God. And that's what we're doing. We're doing his will. Wherever we can, and the best way we do it with all our heart, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, if it's working in this little church, try to keep it up and keep it stand so people will come and sit down and hear the word. We're doing God's will. We're doing God's will, painting it, gardening, anything that has to be done, teaching the word. We're doing God's will. That will be my message for today. I hope you guys got something out of it, and I thank you for your attention, and God bless you.